Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I have with me an incredible guest. I heard his name literally for months and months and months before I came and took on the Barry Chair of Entrepreneurship at Cedarville University. Earl Seals, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Carrie.
Hey, listen, we were just chatting even before we started. I really share the same view with you, but can you share that view about how you believe Christians should be the best at everything?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we're all struggling anyway with our own humanity, but if you really, you take an individual, regardless if it's entrepreneurship or whatever department or whatever position they're in, we fight with our flesh. I get that. But we should be fighting to go to work, to be the best, period, for God's glory. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because we represent the Lord. And so I envision myself all the time. I've given up the name Earl Seals, and my name is Earl Christian, because on the back of my jersey says Christian. That's what I represent, is Christ. And so I would love if every person in every field of business was a beacon of light across the world that stood out as they are excellent in business. They are ethical in business.
Yes.
Or they love people well, they're gracious, but they're just excellent. And they love God, and they love the Lord, and they just are the best. And so my heart's desire is for that.
I met a audio tech guy at a Christian conference, and we were chatting, and this gets into your point. Okay. So this guy was not a believer. And I was talking to him about audiovisual, his business. And he said, let me tell you something. Anytime I work with a client and they say the word bless you, brother, or blessings, or brother, you know, or God, he said, I ask for the money up front. And I'm like, what? What do you mean?
Oh my goodness. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, listen, I'm just telling you. I go to corporate clients, I get paid, but I've worked with churches and Christians, and they always have a story. And I was like, oh, dagger, you know? And I heard that about 20 years ago, and I never forgot it. But I know that you just had pain in your face. Why is that bad? And then that's the negative, and then we'll flip it in a moment. But why do you think that is true for a lot of people?
Well, I think it is true. I mean, I hate to say it, but it is true. I have this shirt on, Christian Business Fellowship, because part of what was the catalyst to start CBF, to equip, to encourage, to energize, and the energizing people is to give people purpose, to remind Christians of their purpose in business, which is the representation of Christ into the world. And when we get that, we understand that business is more than just making money.
Yeah.
But I feel what you're saying, because I have lived that so many times myself. And I'm trying to figure that one out, other than I actually do believe there's a spiritual battle within the human heart. And maturity, as Paul talks about, the desire that we would grow up and not just be on milk, but be on meat.
Yes.
Part of that is the discernment of the spiritual battle within our soul. And I don't know that we always recognize it. And so everything from cutting corners to not following through on our word, Carrie, this, like, yes, are just kind of talking through things. I remember this one gentleman that at one point I had this story. I said, hey, Carrie, come and work with me. And if you can help our company get to $100 million, I'll give you a $3 million bonus.
Wow.
It was very flippant like that. All right, cool. So are you coming on? Sure. Okay, you come on. But after about a couple of years, we have what's called a culture deck. And one of those things is we don't work with brilliant jerks. That's one of our cultural equivalents. Well, he was a brilliant jerk. And it was just extremely hard to work with. Number one. Number two, we have it there. We, not me, is one of our other core philosophies. Mm-hmm. We, not me. And so he was a me, not we. Well, what do you do? We went from, I can't remember, I think it was making $1 million to be $4 million in company sales in the time that he had been there in a couple of years. But we couldn't stand working with you anymore.
Right.
So we were going to him to remove him from the role. But the discussion came, what do you do with this bonus that you promised if you're with, and I, so you go both in the world, Christian world, and outside the Christian world. So I go inside the Christian world and I say, what do you think? And people would say questions like, do you have any paperwork?
Right.
Do you have anything signed? No. Do you have anything in email? No, not really. It was just our word. And then they would say things like, well, you don't owe me anything. You don't have to give
exactly.
Me
yeah.
And so long story made short, as we removed him from the role, my partner, I gave him $610,000.
Wow.
Based upon our word and that we represented Christ.
Wow. The
last thing I said to him was, I said, how do you feel about this? And he said, if I ever see you on the streets again, I'll know you've done me right.
Wow.
About three to four years later, I'm riding in the car with my business partner right around, and this individual calls because I have to tell you a story. He said, my daughter started going to a church and youth group, and then she wanted our family to come. And then we all came. And we all gave our life to Christ, and we were all baptized together.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting chills.
And he literally said, because of you two and because of the way that you treated me, I was open to going or I would have never went.
That is huge. Oh, my gosh. You cannot put a $610,000 price on someone's eternity. I know that's your point.
Right. The point is, but I think about it from a Christian perspective. Most people would say they walk down the world of the road of the world. Do you have something signed? What do you have? What is your word? Who do you represent?
Yep.
And that is at the forefront of us in Christ.
Yep.
And I just believe deeply in that. And that's the reason why people don't want to deal with Christians, is because they act worldly.
Yeah.
I would challenge us not to do that.
I love that story. That is an amazing story. There's this reformational quote that I believe it was Martin Luther, and people are asking him, hey, you know, should we just stop being farmers and be pastors? Should we stop, you know, being metal workers and be pastors? And Martin Luther said, look, if you're a cobbler, you make an excellent shoe and sell it at a fair price. And in that, God is glorified.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I used to be a pastor, Earl. And so I had to go through my own little issue of, okay, I feel being called into the marketplace. You know, my dad was a pastor. My parents were very cool with me transitioning to the business world, but I knew other people weren't. And I actually feel more alive, more on fire, more in my sweet spot in the business world than in the pulpit. What do you think about that? Can you talk about that? That, like, you see yourself as a minister in the business world?
Yeah, I do. You know, I did also I went to Moody Bible Institute. And I thought I was going to be a pastor. So, so the problem was as I graduated from Moody, all of my friends went all over the world to do real ministry. And God was very prompting, I want you to stay in business. And for a solid 15, at least 15 to 20 years, I continued to ask God, why do I have to do stupid business? I want to do real ministry. And I would come home to my wife and she'd say, but you're doing so much and you're helping so many people. And I'm an evangelism major, so world religions evangelism major. So I would share Christ and I would lead people to Christ and I would have Bible studies in my office. And it wasn't as if I was hiding the truth of Christ in a closet. That wasn't my gig. I was out there.
Yeah.
But there seems to be this segregation between only real ministry is in the pulpit or in the physical building, not Christ, us all one body in Christ into the world. So that there is definitely that. And I think we feel it. Sadly, we feel it. And then so I experienced that personally for a long time. And then I began to realize it took me a solid 20 years to realize, wait a minute. I am a full-time minister of the gospel into the world. And Carrie, if you visited our conferences, I'll be speaking in Orlando here in a couple of weeks.
Which, and let's plug that a little bit, because listen, I know that will date the episode, but you'll have conferences again.
Yeah.
So where do people find out about your conferences?
Well, the conferences I have are internal. So we'll have 400 to 500 people for my company at a conference.
What are your companies?
That is a great question. Oh my goodness. My primary company that I started was N2 Publishing. So Neighborhood Networks Publishing.
And I've heard about this. It's the little magazines.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We go into the wealthiest communities in America and produce a private publication for them. And then it's all about their kids and their families and so forth. And then we sell advertising to business owners that want to reach a very affluent group.
Wow.
So we sell about $150 million a year in advertising, and we're in about, 800 magazines across America with 500 franchises. So that started 19 years ago at zero, which is me and my business partner. And then we expanded that across the United States. And then, of course, we expanded into Highport, which is a digital service company. And we've done all of that. And then I have a cattle company and cattle business. And I can't remember all the businesses I've got. People run them, so I can't remember them.
But looking back, like as somebody looks at Earl Seals and all that God's done for you, I mean, in a way, I'm just making this up. You might have been an average pastor. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you might have been a great one, but you might have been an average pastor. But God has blessed you to be an exceptional businessman, and you've been very generous. Besides doing great ministry and work in your business, you also, and entrepreneurs, often have the resources to fund. So I know we're going to get into your conference in a moment, but talk about that principle.
It is, and it's like it's a beautiful burden upon my soul. And what I've seen is, as my friend once told me, Kent Shaw, he said, wealth at best is a great burden, and at worst is a great curse. And so one of the things I work with my brothers and sisters that are entrepreneurs is that understanding your purpose in business is to steward the resources, which is both the people that God has entrusted to you. They are resource. They are entrusted to your care. And then as God chooses to bless you, regardless if it's money or not, but if you stumble into the, now all of a sudden I'm making $1 million a year, you that $1 million is not for our glory. The question is, God, what would you have me do with this? And you begin to realize there's just so many good. I've got a friend right now that's in the other room. He's from Uganda, and he helps rescue children from child sacrifice all across Uganda. And I was there 4 years ago, and he had 20 kids that made it through the sacrifice, the greatest mutilations you could imagine.
Oh my gosh.
He'll be speaking at Cedarville just in a couple of days, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So he'll be on stage on September 11th. So anyway, but he now has 120 kids in the rehabilitation home. He has a pastor that's got hundreds of people. He's got 800 kids in the orphanage. He sleeps in the bush to track down witch doctors that sacrifice kids.
Wow.
The amount of times he's had malaria and been like Paul with nothing, sleeping and hunger and thirst. And he needs help financially. Let me just say, I've got the easy job. For me to build companies and to produce wealth, and then to say, how do we build walls for security around these kids? And, oh, what do you need? You need $50,000. Okay, got that taken care of. What else do you need? That is easy compared to going out. Most of us, especially in the Western culture, are unwilling to do the massively uncomfortable life that he has. And a lot of his brothers and sisters live over here in the United States because it's a lot more comfortable. Mm. He's chosen to stay in the jungle to do a work God has called him to. So that would be one element when we understand business. Business, yes, done well for God's glory, but a lot of times the second element that I've learned is God's favor.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that, because I feel the same way, man. I feel like God is for me, you know? and opening doors and going before me and paving the path. And before I even need something, he's already
right.
Like, talk about that.
Well, I've seen that. You know, I've got one of the companies, one of the organizations that I work with, and is The Chosen, the TV series, The Chosen. And I was working with Dallas Jenkins on other movie projects prior to that. And you begin, and if you know Dallas Jenkins' story, it's very, very clear in that he was really desiring all of what Hollywood would give you.
Mm.
And then when God took all of that away by making the failure of a movie called Gavin Stone, tremendous failure, so much invested, it just stripped him of nothing. And then God needed to get him to that point so that he could prepare him to produce The Chosen, by which now it's going all over the world and to every corner of the world. It's being translated into 50 languages as we speak. It will be the most translated movie in world history into 50 different. It'll cover 90% of the globe. And so we're working on that right now. And so, but here's what you learn in that process. You can have all the talent, you can have all the resources, you can even have the money. But if you don't have God's favor, if God's hand is against you, no matter what, you will not succeed.
Wow. And the opposite.
There it is. But the Bible is littered with stories of people that have nothing, rightly so, and even better so, because they have the Lord's favor, and then success follows that, by which they do not receive the glory. That is my story. I grew up as a little farm boy in East Tennessee. My greatest aspiration was to work at the Toyota factory. That was my greatest goal of life. And then I was saved, and then God directed me and pointed me to school, and I sold Cutco knives, and he developed sales and business and leadership inside of me. And then he said, go do this. And then all the success I have has nothing to do with me. It has so little to do with me. I love the Lord, and I'm persistent, and I don't give up, and I hold on to him, and I try, and I surround myself with good counselors, and then all that I have is because of him. That's what
I'm going to dig into this, because this is huge. What you just said is what I 100% agree with, and I also have experienced. And I'll say this. There are other people who maybe aren't in the spotlight as much as you. Because I say money doesn't ruin you. It reveals you. Money is a stage that whatever's inside is going to show in a bigger way. But I often have people that have said to me, maybe you have too, they're almost scared. They're almost scared of success. And they actually choose anonymity, I would say, in a loser way, not in a good way. Like, oh, Earl, you're being self-promoting. Or Earl, you're how do you stay humble, Earl? You know, like, it's almost like this veiled jab. Because they are so afraid of the platform and the spotlight, because they don't recognize that you and I realize we had nothing to do with it. So humility isn't even like hard, because we're, you know, I used to be a cutter. I was a pastor who would literally cut myself as a teenager, just, you know, because I was so angry, and it was a way of controlling pain. Like, when you do that, and maybe your past, any success you have, you're like, okay, God. So let's talk about that briefly, because have you seen that from, like, maybe people who aren't successful, where they're kind of looking at you and saying success is a bad thing?
Yeah, you know, the heart is wicked, right? So it's interesting. First off, we can have confidence in this, that God will humble the proud.
Mm.
And so it's really interesting. One can be proud of their poverty.
Mic drop.
Right? It is. It's like, proud of my, I don't have very much and I'm proud of it.
Interesting.
I don't want to be successful. I should be successful because I'm going to be afraid that that it's going to become wicked. No, I can promise you this.
That I've never thought of that. So people can be prideful about their lack of success and almost be the exact
their piety.
Wow.
Proud of their piety. Here's what I do know. God humbles the proud.
Yeah.
He gives grace to the humble, but he humbles the proud. That is what I'm 100% confident in.
Wow.
And so, and then it's really, really weird because people only, they only compare themselves to the people that are equal to them. Those who have not traveled the corners of the world like I have, I can say this. Every person probably listening to this, the fact that you have a computer, you're probably one of the wealthiest people in the world. You're certainly in the top 10% of the wealthy people. You are wealthy already. So now the question is, what do you do with the wealth? I mean, and then the other thing you do learn is that God doesn't care whether it's $10. He doesn't care if it's $1 million. He looks at the heart by which you give. You know, I know that. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter. You know, I've been inspired by people like David Green at the Hobby Lobby family, and the Hobby Lobby family has done a lot to help the Chosen Project. And, you know, I remember sitting with David Green and talking to him, and he said, as a matter of fact, he was a, his dad was a pastor. All of his brother, he had, I think, one of nine. He was the only one that went into business. And he was the black sheep of the family because all of his other siblings went into ministry.
Interesting.
He loved retail, but then he built that Hobby Lobby business to where it does $3.4 billion in sales, $700 million in income. And in that $700 million, immediately 50% of that is given to God's work around the world. And the other 50% goes into multiple other buckets. One of those is, how do I invest this to multiply it more? And the other one is, you know, where do we, how do we steward this for God's glory? But one of those things is like the project. I'd be open to say, and they may not want me to say this, but the Chosen would not be where it's at today without the Hobby Lobby family stepping in, intervening, and helping us. They're a big part of translating, putting everything together to translate it around the world.
Wow.
And that costs tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars of investment into a project for God's glory. And so money is not wicked. It's the heart that is wicked. You can be poor and be wicked. You can be rich and be wicked. You can be poor and be like the widow that desires to give the one penny or the one pence.
Yeah.
And God received more glory than the $100,000 that someone gives to the church. I mean, it's the heart that God cares about.
Wow. Well, we got to talk about this here before we roll. And I interrupted you about your conference. So
no problem.
That was just tied to who we are
in Jesus Christ. I just really want to encourage those that are out there. If you're a dentist, if you're a business owner of any kind, I want you to look into your office and see that office or see those people as a stewardship. It's like, God has entrusted these people to my care. So I pay them on time. I'm fair with them. I'm loving with them. I'm patient with them. But even more than that, what is the proper balance of sharing the gospel? I remember being in this one office, this girl that was working on my teeth, and she was just a jibber jabber. She was probably 30 years old. And she'd just given her life to Christ. And if you've ever met one of those people, they're just like explosive. And all she would do is talk about Jesus while she's working on my teeth, like I can respond. But then she would shout across to the other hygienist over here on the other side. She would say, and then she's going to give her life to Christ too. Aren't you, Kathy? Yes, you are. And she was like,
wow.
I knew the business owner that ran that, the dentist that ran that office. And I went to him and I said, bro, why don't you and your wife start a Bible study here in your office? Your office manager just gave your life to Christ. This lady just gave her life to Christ. Why don't you just open it up on Saturday morning? Just say, hey, listen, if you want to come, you can, fine. And why don't you begin to disciple these people? Said, oh, I couldn't do that. Well, I would say, yes, you can do that. Number one. So from a corporate, my perspective, it's not uncommon for me to run a biblical Bible study series for all to join. And they just jump in on a Zoom and join. And then every conference we have a faith message, which is it's an optional message for people to know who God is. It might be discovering how to have peace in your life.
Yeah.
But there is a solid, I would say anywhere from 10 to 50 people a year that give their life to Christ through my company just because we're open to that.
Wow.
And then we also have a soul care. That's another business I forgot about, is that we have what's called Little Cloaks, which is chaplains for everybody. And it goes into businesses by which if someone needs some people to come in and openly love people and care for people and just
really
shepherd them, it's called Little Cloaks. I call it Little Popes to be funny.
Yeah.
And I get in trouble for that. But nonetheless, Little Cloaks. But in that, we also disciple them. So
business chaplains.
Yeah, business chaplains. Yeah, business chaplaincy, because it's also logical. When people come to work and they are just distraught and their marriage is a wreck and their children are cutting themselves and doing all these things, they can't function well at work.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to step in and help counsel their life so that they can be higher in productivity. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win. So anyway.
Real quick, before I get into the final question, do you know a guy named Ken Newman?
Not off the top of my head. Doesn't.
Okay. So he also is tight with David Greene, but I got to connect you with him. But he shares a similar, like the dude's uber successful with something called Utopia, which is where they essentially scan your body, find out what minerals and vitamins you're lacking, and then they design food. And then it's a subscription where and they deliver it in coolers on China, and then you eat it, and then you just throw all your China in the cooler and they pick it up. It's like crazy.
It's awesome.
It's growing. But you know, there's people like you, there's people like Ken Newman that are just on fire in the business world, but then they totally let it show. So here's the where I want to land the plane here is Cedarville.
Yeah.
So what do you think? We were just chatting before we started, and we were kind of chatting about like Cedarville is becoming open to entrepreneurship. And like, I think, Lord willing, we'll be a leader. But don't you have a kid or kids there? And like, what do you think about Cedarville?
I had four kids there. All of my kids graduated there. So they're gone. My last one just graduated a couple of months ago and now getting her doctorate. But nonetheless, the reason why I was attracted to Cedarville, I think fundamentally first off, they're not ashamed. They take God's word as it is. And so I love that. I think that when we begin to say, let's take out this part and let's leave this part and let's not address difficult topics, to stand for nothing or only for partial things is to stand for nothing. So they have a clear stance on what they believe. And I like that. The second thing, they also, even now this is a lacking care, I'm glad you're there. But the reality is they are very open about it. If you're a nurse, if you're a business person, whatever the case is, go into the world. You are the light of the world. But yes, I think there was a deficiency on the entrepreneurship. I think most colleges have a deficiency in entrepreneurship. Let's just face it. And so I'm thrilled to death that they're going to begin to open the eyes of helping young men and women learn how to start businesses, because the leverage there is huge. Mm. It's one thing to be an employee. You have to be respectful of the employer. So to go in there and just say, I'm going to say what I want, do what I want, how what I want on the time clock is inappropriate.
Interesting. So you believe, this is huge. I love this. You're saying that you believe because Cedarville's becoming more serious about entrepreneurship, we'll actually have more influence and more light in the world because we will be the ones leading the companies.
That's right.
Oh, that's deep. Wow.
So you think, right now, if I'm an employee, I do need to be respectful of the employer.
Yeah.
In my case, I've got somewhere between 850 and 1,000 people that report to me. And I have the ability to say, by the way, this week we're having a 6-week study on the book of John, on the gospels. We're going to do the parables. Everybody who wants to get in, jump on. And I can shoot that out to 1,000 people.
Wow.
And that's what I do. Who do I ask? I ask me. That's what happens. I ask
people. I like this. Ooh, I'm going to
click. It's a much greater leverage position.
That's interesting. That is so interesting. Okay. And then what about the people who are, let's just now go second level, the people who are nurses, the people who are scientists, mathematicians, if they think like an entrepreneur, which is the whole premise of this podcast, how will that help them? Even if they never quote become a business owner, how does thinking like an entrepreneur actually help them become what, a better employee who has more influence? What do you think?
Yeah, I think once again, you got to pay attention to what is acceptable, not by the cultural standards, but which is both legal. Back, I can't remember if it was in the 80s or the 90s, they tried to pass a law that said you're not allowed to have any religious figures on your desk. That did not pass. So you can have a cross and you can have Bible verses. Those are acceptable. So that's reasonable. You can have that. So someone can't say that you can't. On the flip side of that, for you to say I'm going to be speaking this way and doing these things on company time is not acceptable. But outside of that, you can say, is it reasonable, Carrie? By the way, Saturday morning, just to let you know, if you want to have a Bible study together, you and I can do that. It's more than acceptable to do that.
Yeah,
and to, I love it. To reach out into the world. You are a light into that workplace. I just want to challenge all employees. You give your best. You work your hardest. You love more. You're kinder than anybody else. You're more patient. You exemplify the fruits of the Spirit by which you are a shining light into the world. And for those that say something like, I want to be an entrepreneur and I'm a nurse, well, I just met a nurse that became an entrepreneur. She worked at a place, but then she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a house. It's got 3 rooms in it, and there's elder care. And my grandmother, she then got 2 other nurses. They charge us $5,000 a week to keep her. But it's a micro, I don't say the word nursing home's the wrong way.
I know what you're saying.
It's a micro care. Home yeah. for care for my 99-year-old grandmother. So she stepped out of the employee world.
Yes.
But still had her RN degree and got a house. And then I don't know how much money she makes. I don't care. I'm glad she took care of my grandma. But she then started a business using that technical degree.
That is so true. And I see that. And I think today's economy and marketplace is for entrepreneurship. I'm seeing more and more of this happen where a math teacher who's amazing says, look, I'll just do math for 6 families and actually get paid more and do a better service than an employee. Absolutely. So last thing, how can we learn more about Earl Seals or your companies or Christian Business Fellowship, which you're part of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you can look at christianbusinessfellowship.org. It's on there. We're going to be starting a chapter at Cedarville for students. We're going to be having a conference coming up.
Yes, February 16th and 17th.
February's
Impact Conference.
Impact Conference, February 16th and 17th. So if you want to know more about how to be a better entrepreneur or even improve your skills, period, as an entrepreneur, then of course Cedarville would be a great place to land on that. You can join CBF and be a part of a cohort, a group of people in your same stage of business to continue to be equipped, encouraged, and energized for purpose. We do that monthly. One of my other companies, if you're someone that is outgoing and enjoys business, would like to have a franchise, of course, you can go to my website, N2Pub, which is N2 Publishing. N is the Nancy, the number 2, and then publishing, you can look it up, and then you can do lots of research there, and you'll find us, and maybe an opportunity for you or someone else.
I love it. N2Pub.com.
Yep.
And does it have Stroll on the front?
Yep, Stroll. Stroll is the brand name of one of our publications for neighborhoods. Yes.
Love it.
So we have a lot of different verticals, a lot of different products, but nonetheless, a great opportunity for people that are looking for something for sure.
Oh, good. Earl, it's been a privilege. I know you're a busy man, but we're going to take this and share it with the world. And thanks for all you're doing for the
kingdom. Yeah, thanks for all you're doing, man. One body in Christ. Keep fighting.
All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed the eMind. Make it a great day. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.